You're listening to listener-supported WUXD Studios.
Welcome to an episode of Diagram. This is the first episode of the Diagram podcast. This is Jonathan Bowman, your host. We're coming to you live from the WUXD studio in Oakley, California. This is season one, episode one, and I'll be talking to you about some very, very cool cutting edge, bleeding edge concepts and methodologies when it comes to UX. As you may have felt yourself, it's time for UX to change. So this whole series is talking about all the cool different things that are happening that are making UX really, really awesome. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the talk. Okay, so this first one is sort of a primer podcast, not a whole lot to dive into. But what I do want to do is explain at a high level what's changing in the field. And one of the biggest changes is you're being asked to wear a lot of hats. You're being asked to perform at a super high level, and you're being pushed to go beyond your comfort zone and learn things that are very new to you, that a lot of times you might feel like, why am I doing this? This is not my job. Well, I think with the current climate today, the this is not my job attitude is kind of going away, which is good. But you should have never had that anyhow. And really, design is pretty powerful. So because of that, a lot of things actually are your job. And what I'm going to talk to you about today is very high-level introductory to foundational design. What is it? What does it mean? How does it work? And why does it even exist, right? You know, not another term, yet another term, here we go again. Why are we categorizing and subcategorizing? That's not what's happening. What's happening is, in order for the community to actually be valid, you need a lot of validators put into the community. One of them is a license, and I know it's controversial, and I know a lot of you guys will probably stop listening to this podcast right now and turn it off, and that's okay. But that license as a validator is coming, and it really, really has to. And you guys can fight that and hate that all you want, but that's a validator. The other thing that's a validator is terms and terminology. Now, when you ask someone, what are you? Some people might say, I'm a product designer, I'm a UX designer. Other people might say, I'm an interaction designer. And what you have to understand is who created these terms? Like, where did they come from? Did they come from, you know, a college? Did they come from a professor? And from what I've seen in my research and hiring people and firing people, it comes from businesses, mostly recruiters, and it's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool to get you to feel good about your job So they use these different titles, and it makes you feel like you're different and like you're better, or, you know, you have something that someone else doesn't. And that classification is not valid in any way. So one job you might be an interaction designer, and another job you might be a visual designer. You're focusing on just a few things maybe in that job, which I highly doubt. But overall, it's just a term that's used by recruiters. So that's why a lot is changing so dramatically in the community, because no one's taking us seriously because we can't get our stuff together, so to speak, right? And if we had validators in place, everything would change. Here's another reason why designers aren't taken seriously, because if you go into a meeting and you present a design, you've already failed because of how you presented it. So the training that goes into presentations is not there. It's totally missing. The other thing you'll see is a lot of times designers didn't go through any sort of formalized training, so they're making these really big mistakes. For example, you will get a team in a room, like an engineering group, product management group, and you'll have this really big to-do and say, here's the new app and this is what it looks like. Well, that's kind of wrong, because you should have gone through this iterative process with that team over time, developing what that looks like and what it feels like and how it works, even with research. And nothing should be a surprise. You shouldn't have this big reveal. Not to say that big reveals aren't necessary, they are, but in certain cases. But for the most part, when you're working with an integrated team as an integrated team member, it's a team effort. And yes, I know you're going to say, well, engineering doesn't show me the code. Well, they probably should, and you probably should learn how to read that and work with them and help them out. But that's besides the point. The point is, there's a lot of reasons why we're failing as a community, and those reasons are getting corrected really quickly. And one of the things that has come to light is this concept of foundational design. And if you've been speeding through to get to what foundational design is, this is probably the right point in the scrubber to go to. So let's get into it. So if you look at a business and how a business starts from beginning to end, there are a lot of different phases. But when you extract design from that phase, and design is just sort of this iterative, injuncted, or at specific times sort of visited process, then it's broken. Because you don't tell finance, only come in, you know, when we're ready to balance our books. Finance is always there. And you don't tell marketing, only come in when we're ready to do a new launch. But you don't tell engineering, only come in when we're going to engineer something. But you tell design, only come in when we want to design something. So it's all backwards, right? So that's why when you look at foundational design is based on this wholehearted principle that the business life cycle is a life cycle, and it includes design. And once you start to look at things like that, you'll understand clearly why foundational design is important. So there are licenses for foundational design. There are foundational designers running around San Francisco today. There's groups and companies that know about foundational design. And yes, they're very few and far between, but it's going to be big. It's going to be like the biggest thing because it's really kind of flipping the script. And it's showing you that at the impetus of the company, at the impetus of the project, at that beginning stage, that's where design needs to be. And foundational design can happen actually kind of at any point, because if you're a more mature company, you probably missed all that because like I just explained, you didn't consider design and you kind of inject them when needed. You missed all that. So you need foundational design anyhow. You didn't get it done. It's kind of like a house. You know, you might have all the parts of the house, but if you forgot the foundation, you're going to need a foundation or your house is going to fall and things are going to be bad. So the same thing goes with design. It is that important and that critical that you really need it there from the beginning. And what foundational design does is it can inject itself at two points. I won't use the word inject. It can be deployed at two points. I'll say it that way. One, which is the most preferred point at the beginning of the company or early stages, like at startups. And two, if it's a more mature company and they're kind of past the startup phase, that's okay. It could come in there too, but that'll obviously be more disruptive. And we'll get into that in other episodes. So let me recap. Let me go back so you guys can understand this clearly. Businesses have a life cycle. Businesses have a start and an end. And hopefully at that end, they'll do all the things they need to do to sort of rebrand themselves and refresh themselves. And then they'll go down the cycle again. So they're very specific phases in business maturity and growth. And because of that, you need to make sure that you have foundational design, because foundational design will give you the entire structure you need to not only make your product viable, not only make your product worth it and cool and people want to buy it and pay for it and seem valuable, but make your brand valuable, which is actually the core of the company, which is actually the most important thing. And then now we're going to get into the whole wearing different hats part. It's like, you might be thinking, Jonathan, I'm a UX designer. I'm an interaction designer. I don't do branding. That's more graphic based. Well, okay, sure. But who is selling stuff today? It's not UX designers. Who has the ability to sell things? It's not interaction designers. The people that sell things are the people that are in the front of the business, usually marketing, salespeople, and they're moving the needle. And they'll go out and hire a company like Third Layer, or they'll hire a consultant like me, and they'll pay a lot of money for me to come in and help them get these pieces into the product. Where were you? Where were you in that process? In a big company, there's a marketing team and they're not including you in how they're selling things. So right off the bat, now you can see, like, from a business perspective, this is why you don't have a seat at the table, because you're not selling anything. The seat at the table is for people that are actually moving the needle. And you could say, well, now I use metrics and I use Optimizely and I work with user research and we figure out how to optimize funnels. So you're wrong. I do sell stuff. No, you don't. You optimize funnels. Selling stuff is all about brand, because that's what people think about the company. People don't make decisions to buy stuff because they absolutely like it or love it or think it's cool. They make decisions to buy stuff because they have a sort of connection to the brand and they say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to pay for that. So if you're not involved in that part, then there's a big miss. And you might be saying, well, it's not structured that way at my company. I can't get involved with that part. That's not true. I've worked at big companies. I've worked at really, really huge companies. And you have the ability to inject yourself wherever you need to be. And if there's a new product coming out and you didn't talk to marketing, well, you know, you missed the opportunity. So that's really what foundational design is about. It's about this concept from beginning to end of the phase, the life cycle of the company. You have to have a foundation, and that's where you are. If you've set the foundation, then you've set the tone. So everything else follows, and the timeline just kind of makes itself, right? So that's a little bit more advanced, and I'll get into that later in other podcasts, but that's the high-level philosophy. There's a foundation. So now you're asking, what is the foundation? The foundation is your brand. It starts with what the company is about. And if you're lucky enough to get in early with a startup, which I hope that's the phase you are at, because that's what we're going to talk about, I'll talk about the other method later, where you can actually do it at a more mature company. But if you're lucky enough to get in at the early phase, then you have really, really cool opportunities. And what I mean by that is, if you're a designer, you don't have to do the branding and marketing and all that. But you should, as one of one, if that's what you are at a startup, you should be directing everything that's happening with the brand. And the reason is because if you look at a larger, more mature company, there's usually someone who's, you know, VP of design or a chief design officer or a chief experience officer. And that person is very hand in hand with the marketing person, if not actually in charge of the marketing design group. I haven't seen that structure very much. I've seen it more so that there's a CMO and a CXO, all right? So because you have those structures at a more mature level, you're going to have to think of yourself like that, even at a startup phase, because you want to set yourself up for success. And this goes back to the foundational piece. So you're now a CXO, essentially. And what you're going to do is you're going to create a CMO. If you don't have a CMO, you'll create one. And usually you won't. And if you do have a CMO, then you have to work with them very, very closely. And what you're going to do is you're going to run them through. And by the way, they shouldn't feel like their toes are being stepped on. They should love this. But you're going to run them through workshops and exercises where you guys come up with a strategy. Like, how are we going to brand ourselves? And let's forego the you have a CMO part for another episode. But right now, let's just say it's just you. So you create this other marketing group. And this is done by hiring out other folks. And if you can't do that, you're going to have to do it by yourself. It's pretty difficult, but I can explain that too. But let's say you have two people that work for you. They're very, very good folks, and they're going to focus on more marketing-centric stuff, which is okay. You're going to run the team through these branding exercises to understand what the brand is. Then you're going to develop it with them, and then you're going to document that, and you're going to share it back with them and say, this is who we are. And those are things like brand attributes, like what is your company about? What are our values? What is our mission? What are our goals? If the company doesn't have that or they can't articulate that, that is a big red flag. So for the most part, you should be fully capable of doing that. Once you've gone through that exercise, and these are non-trivial, they're pretty extensive. I can explain that more. I'll add some links to an article I wrote about this. But once you've gone through that exercise, now you have clearly understood what the brand is and you can articulate it. Now you can start to go into creating a logo. And you might say, well, we already have one. Well, do you? Do you know what a logo is? Do you know the definition of it? Do you know what a mark is? Do you know what a word mark is? Chances are you probably don't. And if you think you do, you still probably don't, unless you're actually trained in how to design logos. So let's say, you know, you're like most average designers, you kind of know what a logo is, but not really. So make sure that you do have a real true logo. If you guys have paid for a branding company to create one for you, then you probably do have a logo. But for the most part, you have a little icon that you got on like noun icons and some font like Arial or Helvetica or something. And that is not a logo. So what you want to do now is lead the whole team, the whole company through a logo exercise where now you're going to, with all the data that you gathered, you're going to create one. and you create a logo and that emulates the brand, that has all the brand elements, and it's really crisp and clear. And everyone will just like get this sense of pride, and it really turns the company around and changes a lot. And from there, you'll create some brand guidelines, you'll create a color palette, and essentially create an entire brand guideline document that will now go on your website under the press section. Because if you're actually making money and you're doing things and you're getting investors, you're going to eventually have some sort of press. So you want someone who's looking to talk about you to have a place to go to download your logo, download your brand guidelines, and all that, right? Now you have set the foundation for everything that follows. How the product works, how you talk, how you sound, what your voice and tone are. If you get a writer coming in that's going to help, that's going to be a dedicated writer, that person knows how to write now because they understand the brand clearly and it's been defined. And you've basically set the tone for the entire life cycle of the brand until it fizzles out and gets old. And that's the beauty of foundational design. Now, trained foundational designers can come in and do that, and they will, and they'll do a great job, but it doesn't stop there. So there are other phases of the company that you'll also have to embark on these sessions to where you can clearly define all the other pieces. So now that you know what the brand is, now you know what the website can look like. So you're going to go and define all of your guidelines, all of your design systems, your design philosophy. All of that comes from that. So I've heard people before ask me, like, what's your design philosophy? And I've always thought that was a really weird question because my design philosophy has to come from the foundational design. If the foundational design is not in place, then it doesn't matter what I think or what my philosophies are. And that's absolutely true. So it's a very weird question because you can tell someone has no clue what foundational design is when they say, what's your design philosophy? I shouldn't have a design philosophy. Generally speaking, you know, I like nice, clean things, but that's not a design philosophy. You can't create all these other things like design systems, design philosophies until you have foundational design. So foundational design is absolutely, first and foremost, the first thing you have to do. It kicks off everything. Like I said, now you know what the product should look like and how it should look. Now you know why you do things and why you don't do things. There's some amazing guidance sort of around what you're supposed to do. So that's it. That's foundational design. I hope that's clear. You can go check out my article on Medium about it. It's called Building Your Brand. I'll add a link to the show notes here, and you can go check it out. It's a very high-level, detailed read. It doesn't do this process justice, but at least it'll kind of give you an understanding of what I'm talking about. So, I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you very much. Diagram is produced by myself, Jonathan Bowman, here in WUXD Studios in Oakley, California. I'd like to give a huge thanks to Third Layer for supporting this episode, and look forward to talking to you guys soon. We'll be right back.